Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz, final segment of the show today. We are live from the Kintech Studio. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Lots to get into in this final segment. And of course, because we have the crossover, we saved the whiteboard for right now. So let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, February 5th. The headline is the Canucks beat the Colorado Avalanche 3-0 at Rogers Arena last night, and we've gotten into a lot of the storylines from the game. Obviously, the DPD storyline and the way he had an impact on that game. We've talked a lot about the vibes being back, which is a huge part of the story of last night as well. Or the vibes being good, I should say, more than anything else. And the other part of it is Thatcher Demko picking up a shutout against the Colorado Avalanche. And there was that one, you know, we're calling it a sequence, but really, like, the save that stands out is the one on Lehkonen, where it's the cross ice pass, and he dives over and makes the glove save, and then later grabs it in his glove off of Makar's shot to end things. But, okay, that's basically two out of three really strong games for Thatcher Demko now. The one against Nashville, he was really good. Not so great against Dallas.
Oh, I thought he was good against Dallas, no?
I thought he was, like, not notably good.
I thought he was good.
Fine.
I mean,
whatever.
I thought the Canucks were so overmatched, and he gave them a shot.
At any rate, over the last three games, I think the trajectory is pointing in a much more positive direction than it was leading into that, right? When people are having conversations like, I mean, is Lehkonen going to play all of the remaining games before the Four Nations because they're so desperate for points, right? Gets a couple of good performances under his belt. Now we'll see if he can continue, but that has the potential to be a really important part of the remainder of this Canucks season if they start getting more performances like that from Thatcher Demko.
Yeah, 67 saves on his last 71 shots faced. That's a 943 yep. across those last three starts. That's absolutely progress for a goaltender who we know has this dominant form in him and hasn't been that guy with, you know, a special, like, he's especially struggled with allowing goals in his post-integration stances, right? There's been some, I think, technical gaps that are very uncharacteristic, and then some uncharacteristic goals against two where, like, he struggled to glove pucks or what have you. We've seen a couple of those beat him. So that was obviously gone last night. You know, awesome. Awesome to see Demko turn in a signature performance given, you know, what I'm sure has been a wildly frustrating year on a variety of different fronts for him.
Yeah. And potentially big for the Canucks, too, going forward, right? I mean,
they need goaltending. Like, they have the second lowest team save percentage on the season. Now, a lot of that is Demko's struggles, I think. And Artur Shelov's obviously also takes that number down. I mean, Lankanen's obviously been steady.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the Canucks are 31st in save percentage between now and the end of the year, they're not making the playoffs. Like, that has to be better. It should be better with a Lankanen-Demko duo than it was with Lankanen, and occasionally we'll throw Artur Shelov to the Wolves, and it's not going to look pretty. So, you know, you'd expect the Canucks to at least get average goaltending, and probably better if they're defending the way they did last night. The Avs really didn't have much inside against the Canucks yesterday. But that needs to happen. And if they can get top five, top 10 goaltending, hey, maybe we're talking about something like them reeling in the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's beyond this season, though. Like, it is huge for this season, but then also you think about the decision they have to make on Thatcher Demko, or could make at least this coming summer. And whatever you want to do, you're in a better position if he plays well, obviously, right? If you want to sign him with confidence, if you want to explore a trade, you're in a better position if Thatcher Demko plays really, really well and looks like himself down the stretch. So really important to see him have a game like that, have a performance like that for the Canucks last night against the Colorado Avalanche. And yeah, I mean, we've touched again on the performance from Elias Pettersson, the vibes, just the overall speed and effort of the team. Very positive signs for the Canucks going in here in a couple of games to the Four Nations break. Believe it or not, nothing to add, nothing to contribute in the broadsheet portion of the whiteboard here. We had the Carson Soucy
yep.
yesterday, but it's quieted down. No more Miller-Pedersen drama to unspool.
I'm told Kevin Durant does not want to rejoin the Golden State Warriors.
There you go.
NBA trade deadline is on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, no?
It's tomorrow. It's tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah. So is the NFL Awards. So, yeah, should be. I think we'll get a KD trade before the deadline. That should be fun.
Really?
Yeah. He's being held out again.
Matt Ishbia just told it was like, no, you're not. We're not trading you.
No, he's being.
That's out of date?
He's being held out of the game again tonight for a non-injury. So
intriguing.
Yeah, no. Durant's going to go. Yeah, should be interesting. Hey, I hear that despite all the additions that the Canucks have made,
they're still looking.
They're still looking for an upgrade along the blue line, but because of the cap, because of the cap, it's going to be tough to do.
Are they looking for an upgrade on the blue line right now? I don't know that they are. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they all like they wouldn't say no if it came up, but I don't think that's where they're making phone calls.
No, it's not their priority.
All of a sudden, Hughes, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson's like, all right.
It's been such a gossip filled year that I wanted to use our filler.
Yes.
I haven't had the opportunity.
That's true.
To do
we've had very few empty broadsheet segments. It's mostly been like the meat of the whiteboard.
100%.
Not so much right now. We'll see how it picks up closer to the trade deadline.
Lineup news is where we get into Quinn Hughes not going to San Jose.
Yeah, and we should also mention quickly, Linus Karlsson sent down. Nils Åman recalled, so looks set to get his first NHL action in a while.
We should also bury the lead 12 feet underground. I wanted
to take care of the housekeeping. Take care of the basic stuff.
Yeah. Tidy bit of business.
But Quinn Hughes, that's right. But Quinn Hughes did not practice today, apparently didn't skate on his own either, will not travel to San Jose tomorrow with the team. So looks set for another game, well, definitely another game without Quinn Hughes in the lineup against the Sharks tomorrow.
Per our Brendan Batchelor, Talkit, when asked about Quinn Hughes and his availability for the Four Nations, it depends on the next 48 hours. We'll sit down with Quinn and talk to him. Like every player, you're concerned about health and safety and health. He added, I know Quinn is a USA guy, loves his country, playing with his brother. There's a lot of positives to it, but he's a smart kid too. He understands what's at stake. Okay. I know what's best for the Canucks, which is to have Quinn Hughes rest up for 2 weeks and hopefully come back without his Phantom of the Opera mask on his hand and whatever core or lower body injury he sustained against the Dallas Stars that they've clearly been navigating, right? Like Hughes was skating on the ice under the observation of Canucks medical personnel prior to morning skate yesterday. Man, like, I don't know, obviously, what he's sort of dealing with, but given the fact pattern, like if you're talking about something like a groin that you're managing or a sports hernia, something like that, like, man, that's 2 weeks off would be a huge deal for that. And all of that said, I have a lot of Quinn Hughes stock in terms of him being the best defenseman on the planet. And he's got to be the best defenseman at the Four Nations tournament to really begin to like churn that narrative. And given how competitive he is, given how exhausting I'm sure this season has been for him on and off the ice, I just want to see him get a chance to play in those games. Like, I know what's in the Canucks' best interests, but I don't think it's fair to criticize a player who hasn't had an opportunity to play best on best in their entire career. Last opportunity was 10 years ago. Hughes was 15, probably so stoked until Canada shut them down in the semifinals about Team USA's performance in Sochi. I don't think you can criticize the player if he decides to go and tries to tough it out to go. That's my personal view.
Secondly,
I personally want to see it.
I think from an organizational perspective, you're like, hey, Quinn, this year's been really tough. You do you, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, you're our guy. You've been incredible. Incredible through these circumstances. Done everything we could have asked for you on and off the ice. You say you want to go and this is that important to you. Okay, you're going. Like, and I get it. That's tough for a lot of reasons. You would love for him to have the time off, but he's such a key piece of the organization. And from what we understand, this is probably a really, really important thing for him. Understandably, I don't think you can get in the way of that realistically. I think you just got to say, like, look, man, you've earned this. You've earned the right to make this decision. So it's up to you. You do you. And if that's the decision you make, then all right, we'll support it. Like, I think he's attained that kind of gravity and weight in the organization that's how you got to approach it. We'll hear from Rick Tocchet, by the way, momentarily here and get exactly what he had to say about Quinn Hughes's availability. Lines at practice. Elias Pettersson with Jake DeBrusque and Connor Garland. Philip Hedl with Drew O'Connor and Brock Besser. Suter, Joshua, and Sherwood on the third line. Bluger, Hoglander, and Niels Amon on the fourth line. Defense pairs, same as they lined up in the game last night. So Forbert, Hronek, Marcus Pettersson, Tyler Myers, Elias Pettersson with Carson Soucy on the right side, Mancini and Juulsen, the extras at practice. Playoff and standings update. Canucks win, Flames lose. That bumps the Canucks playoff chances up to 81% per Dom's model. The teams are tied 59 points in 53 games right now in the standings, although Calgary does have more wins. They actually have a couple of extra shootout wins, so they hold the tiebreaker currently, but the teams are tied 59 points in 53 games. Do you have a betting odds update for us?
I just wanted to note, because I'm hearing a lot of that, like, Canucks one point back of the Kings talk, right? But the point percentage difference is what, Canucks are 0.557?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then LA's 0.6?
600, yeah.
Okay, so that's an 8-point gap over 82 games, right? Like, three games in hand, probably the best way to look at it is just give the team 1 point, which isn't actually right for across all three games. And that's a 4-point gap.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the easiest, like, back of the envelope way to do it, but anyway, just look at point percentage, because a 0.05 gap in point percentage at this point in the season is actually pretty significant, right?
Yep, and the team that they're closer to by points percentage is Colorado after last night. They're 5 points back, but they have two games in hand.
Yeah, and Colorado's, like, legitimately skidding.
Colorado's a weird team, man.
They're
a weird, weird team right now.
They seemed mentally fragile last night. Like, well, they lost their composure entirely in the third period. They just don't look like a happy group. So hopefully we see more, because, man, the way that MacKinnon and Natchez were dancing together on some shifts was super fun.
You liked that. Everything else was like, don't love this.
Yeah.
From Colorado, which is a tough way to build a team right now. Anything in the betting odds before we play Tocchet here?
Yeah. Betting odds, the Canucks for tomorrow. I want to see what that line is opening at. That line is not open yet. Okay, never mind.
No Quinn Hughes.
No Quinn Hughes, right. Okay. And then, there's nothing else I want to spotlight.
All right. That's an abbreviated edition of the whiteboard. But as mentioned, let's hear from Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet.
Yeah, just, you know, like, nice win, but right back at it. I like the thing I like the last couple of days is the energy level's really high. So you want to keep that momentum with the energy.
What's been the most impressive thing on and off the ice from these new guys and how they're coming into this room?
Well, it's just, you know, they've only been here a few days. But to me, the excitement of being traded here, which is nice, seemed like, you know, just from doing research on them, very coachable kids, very coachable, want to learn. And, you know, the enthusiasm they're bringing to our team.
Our daily Quinn update?
Yeah, he's not going to make the trip. It's a day-to-day thing right now. He'll stay back. Whether he skates tomorrow, we'll talk about that later today.
Would you try to maybe practice with you Friday just to see where he's at?
Possibility, yeah. But I don't want to say for sure. But, you know, he's, you know, we want to make sure that he's right.
Hedl keeps climbing the charts, PP1 today. What's obviously rationale is good there with everything he does.
I think patience with a puck, yeah. Being able to come up with loose pucks with people on top of them, that's... Those are the guys you want. You know, his vision, and he's got a good shot. So, you know, I think he deserves a shot to get up there.
Is he, I mean, it's only two games.
Yeah.
Is Cheadle better than you thought you were getting? He's a guy in New York.
Yeah, I didn't know much about him. To be honest, I watched a little bit about him when I watched the Rangers. But what I noticed from behind the bench is in the neutral zone, being able to get the puck and keeping it and then – attacking, you know, listen, sometimes there's no play, but there are a lot of times there is a play, and he's finding it. And puts teams on pause, you know, instead of just, you know, staying on the outside and chipping it in. I think he's a guy that's willing to take that puck and try to find something else.
You know, as a coach, every player is looking for opportunity. So when you see his skill set, and he's 25, so he's not young, but he's not old.
Yeah.
Do you see a higher, much higher ceiling for him potentially than what he has shown to this point in the NHL?
Yeah, like it's a short sample size, but there is definitely an there's a level there. Like there's a definitely a I was talking to Phil Arona, Countryman, he knows him. There's definitely, and you can tell he wants to show that there's another level. And I think, you know, as a coaching staff, we want to help him get there. But, you know, there's some things. He's got the characteristics of a guy that can be a 200-foot, you know, tall, lanky centerman.
Could he end up being your faceoff guy? I didn't know that. Yeah,
when he – I don't know, what's his – 48% when he got here, somewhere around there. And he hasn't seemed like a 48% guy. So if he can really be good on the dots, which we really need, that really helped. Obviously, Mills was a big part of our faceoff. So if he can help out and shore that up, that would really help.
Is that because he was a third-line guy in the Rangers and maybe the matchups he might have faced tougher guys in the circle?
That's a good question. I don't know. But there's been some pressure situations. I put him out there, and he's won a draw. So that's a good sign.
How much do you get involved in when you're interested in players, not just the player but the person? I mean, it's only been a few days, but the vibe in the room is noticeable. Yeah. When a guy like Marcus Pedersen comes in and is not afraid to speak up.
Yeah.
How valuable is that as a coach? Because you want them to set the culture. You want them to set the vibe, and it's noticeable.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to overstate everything, and it's like, you know, I'm not a roller coaster type of guy. But I will say, the last 3 or 4 days, there's definitely I know we just finally had our first practice, but just there is a nice energy in there. And you know, when you have bringing 5-6 new guys, there's new energy. And like I said, the one thing I can tell you, they want to be coached. That's nice.
Rick, when these players first arrived, you talked about how you don't want to put too much on them system-wise. How has that progressed over the last couple of days? Have you been able to talk to them about the system a little bit more?
Yeah, a little bit. I think D-zone coverage, I think I got to spend some time with Heedle here a little bit on just, you know, there's a couple of times where he was running around because I don't know if that's a system thing, man. I don't think Rangers played man. Maybe they play man-on-man. We don't play man-on-man. So just a couple of little coverage things that we'll have to clean up. But like I said, I don't want to overload him. He's doing fine right now, but we will sit down. And I talked to Nate about that. I want to watch video with him and show him a couple things of what we do here. But, so you give him a little bit of time.
And with the Four Nations, you know, we talk about Quinn, but yeah. Crosby was injured last night. As a coach, how does that process work with you guys? Do you have a list of players that are replaceable depending on who goes out?
Yeah, we had a call 3 days ago, 3 days ago of who would be your – like our choice for the next guy. You know, obviously the defense, we still got to figure that out with Pietrangelo, but we also talked about forwards. Two or three guys are in the mix here in the next 5 days. I don't know when they're going to announce it, but yeah, we have talked about that.
Rick, what was behind the move to bring Amon back, and was Carlson okay last night, or like you took a stick in a place you don't want to take a stick?
I think because Abbotsford, what we've done here, and I remember doing this in Pittsburgh, just I don't mind this. Plus, the positional, I like having that extra centerman. Obbs has played really well. It's got nothing to do with Carlson. He could be up in the next couple of days. It's just being able to get a guy to practice with us. I like that. Patrick likes that. Jim likes that. So it's got nothing. It's no indictment. I think Carly's game has been coming. And I think it's important that we can rotate a couple of guys. That's what we feel like.
You said yesterday you hadn't even thought about Four Nations with regard to Quinn.
Yeah.
Like it hasn't even come up.
Yeah.
At what point will it come up?
Well, it's getting close. It's a good question. Is it depends on the next 48 hours. I guess that's really it comes down to. So we don't sit down at Quinn and talk to him.
If he's not able to play on Saturday, think that's an indication that maybe he shouldn't be playing in the Four Nations?
It could be. Depends on how close you is the plan on Saturday. That's really what it comes down to. But yeah, we're gonna have to. It's gonna have to have a hard, long look at this. Like every player, you're concerned about safety and healthy and all that stuff.
Just to be clear, he's wanting to play these games, right? He says he can play.
Like our games now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wants to play, but you know, he. we don't. He can't play. Put it this way, I can be the bad guy. I don't care. Like, he's not going to play. Yeah, would he try to gut it out? But I think he's a smart kid too. He knows, like, gutting it out is not going to help our team. For us, last game of the year, I don't even know if he'd play. Probably, but right now it's. The kid's got a big will to play, but he knows. He knows better than that.
What about the runway, too? I mean, the tournament's great, but stretch drive is obviously more important. I mean, how do you even broach that?
Well, it's tough, like in Petrangelo, he's made that decision. So I don't know. It's a tough one, because I know Quinn is a USA guy, loves his country, play with his brother. There's a lot of positives to it, but... Like I said, we got to, he's a smart kid too. He understands what's at stake also.
We saw him skate yesterday morning. Did he skate today on his own,
He did not skate today, no.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet talking about his team generally, but also a lot about the status of Quinn Hughes, not going to make the trip to San Jose, didn't skate by himself or with the team today. And interesting, IMAC, good question, I thought, from IMAC, right? Because Tocchet has said, hey, we haven't got to that point. We're not at that point. And IMAC's like, okay, but when are you going to get to that point? And Tocchet said, really depends on the next 48 hours. And I thought it was interesting, asked, like, look, if he can't play in your final game on Saturday, does that mean he shouldn't be playing in the Four Nations? And even that, Tocchet, non-committal, right? Well, it could be, but it'll depend on how close he is to playing to that. So clearly some...
And what he's dealing with. Like, yeah. There was clearly something new that occurred in Dallas. I mean, you could see it, like, it's apparent. And so, I'm sure they're navigating that and still seeing how he responds. And, he was skating yesterday, not skating today, not going to play Thursday. So obviously some rest. And look, I hope that he gets to play. I hope that he gets to play for Team USA. And I certainly hope that we get to watch him play Saturday against Toronto.
That would be ideal. Get back in. Play well against Toronto, play your normal minutes or close to it, everything's fine, and then you can go, no one has to be that worried when he goes to the Four Nations. But I thought that was a really interesting availability with Tocchet. You can tell that there's a lot of thought and concern going on behind the scenes just about how this is going to play out. Tricky situation, and Tocchet alluded to the Alex Petrangelo example. He's already withdrawn from it, of course. As I said, I think at this point with Quinn Hughes, he has been such an absolute warrior for you and done everything you've wanted that you leave the decision in his hands. But there's a point as well where his health might prohibit it. So we'll see how this plays out, as Tocchet said, over the next 48 hours or so going into the weekend. Canucks with only two games remaining on their schedule before the break for the Four Nations, and one of them tomorrow night in San Jose. We will be back on the air tomorrow to set that one up. Have a great rest of your day. We're back tomorrow for more Canucks Talk on Sportsnet 650.